ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भवति नैषिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 31 टेक्स्ट 13। चैप्टर 31 ऑफ कैंटो 4 इज कॉल्ड एज नारदस इंस्ट्रक्शन to the Prachetas. Narada instructs the Prachetas. Text 30 goes as follows.
Sreyasham api sarvesham
Sreyasham api sarvesham
Sreyasham api
sarvesham Sreyasham
api sarvesham Atma hi avadhi
artha
Shreyasam.
Shreyasam.
Of auspicious activities.
Of auspicious activities.
Api. Certainly.
Certainly.
Sarvesham.
Sarvesham.
All.
All.
Atma.
Atma.
The self.
The self.
He.
He.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Avadhi.
Avadhi.
Destination.
Destination.
Arthata.
Arthata.
Factually.
Factually.
Sarvesham.
Sarvesham.
Of all.
Of all.
Api.
Api.
Certainly.
Bhutanam,
living
entities,
Hari,
the
Supreme Personality of Godhead,
the Supreme Personality
Atma,
Atma,
the Super Soul,
Super Soul.
Atmada,
Atmada,
who can give us our original identity,
Priya,
very dear. Translation. Factually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original source of all self-realization. Consequently, the goal of all auspicious activities, karma, jnana, yoga and bhakti, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purpo, Ashila Prabhupada. The living entity is the marginal energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the material world is the external energy. Under the circumstances, one must understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is factually the original source of both matter and spirit. This is explained in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 7.4-5. Bhumi apo nalo vayu. Kam mano buddhi evacha ahankara itiyam me bhinna prakriti astada. Aprameyam itastva anyam prakriti vriddhi me param. Jiva bhutam mahabhavo yayedam dharyate jagat. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego, all together these 8 comprise my separated material energy. But besides this inferior nature, O mighty Arjun, there is a superior energy of mine which consists of all living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. The entire cosmic manifestation is but a combination of matter and spirit. The spiritual part is the living entity, and these living entities are described as prakriti or energy. The living entity is never described as Purusha, the Supreme Person. Therefore, to identify the living entity with the Supreme Lord is simply ignorance. The living entity is the marginal potency of the Supreme Lord, although there is factually no difference between the energy and the energetic. The duty of the living entity is to understand his real identity. When he does, Krishna gives him all the facilities to come to the platform of devotional service. That is the perfection of life. This is indicated in the Vedic Upanishad. Yam evaisa vrunute tena labhyas tasyaisa atma vivrunute tanum swam. Lord Krishna confirms this in Bhagavad Gita 10.10. Tesham sakadrishtana bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogata yenama upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. The conclusion is that one must come to the platform of bhakti yoga. Even though one may begin with karma yoga, jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga, unless one comes to the platform of bhakti yoga, self-realization or realization of the absolute truth cannot be achieved. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Dadati Swarupadantikam Mukham Karoti Vacham Pangum Langhayate Yatrupa Namaham Vande Sri Guru Dinakayanam Vanchakalpataru Vyascha Kripasandho Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Shreyasam api sarvesham atma hi avadhir arthatah sarvesham api bhutanam hari atmatmana priya. Factually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original source of all self-realization. Consequently, the goal of all auspicious activities like karma, jnana, yoga and bhakti is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, we are towards the end of this particular section. In fact, we are nearing the end of Canto 4, the 31st chapter. We are on the 13th text. Up until now, in this section, Narad Muni has been trying to deliver Prachinabadi as well as the sons of Prachinavarni, the Prachetas. He tried to deliver Prachinavarni through an allegorical story, talked about Puranjana. Prachinavarni took some time to assimilate the messages. There were several iterations of conversation by Narad Muni unto him. In the meantime, we also see that the Prachetas also had darshan of Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva gave them the Rudra Gita, and Lord Shiva was extremely pleased with them, so they got blessings as well as instructions from Lord Shiva. Following the instructions of Lord Shiva, they meditated. So pleased with Lord Krishna, so pleased was Lord Krishna with their meditation that he gave them darshan. Again, Lord Krishna himself, Lord Narayan, gave them instructions. Instructions to rule the kingdom, which they did rightfully. After that, at some point in time, they got detached from their kingdom, from home and hearth, and they left, and they were going ahead to further their self-realization. They met Jajari Muni on the way. Jajari Muni also gave them instructions, and they were continuing their process of pranayama. As they were doing that, one fine day, in front of them appeared Narada Muni. And this conversation is part of what Narada Muni tells them as part of Narada Muni's rendition of the Bhakti Sutras. So Narada Muni is a pure devotee of the Lord. He will not recommend any other process other than the pure devotional service of Lord Narayana, Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna to anyone. So he has done it with Prachinavarni. Now yet again Narada Muni is now giving the similar instructions, albeit in a different form. Now he is not using the allegorical form because the Prachetas are much more higher in their consciousness than what Prachinavarni has been started. So he is directly coming to the point and he is telling them, surrender to the Lord. Do not follow any other yogic systems. If you follow Bhakti Yoga, that's a summum bonum of all yoga. So that is pretty much the gist of the context of where we are. And the Prachetas are also taking full advantage of the association of Narada Muni. So we see that. So Srila Prabhupada gives a very interesting purport here. Srila Prabhupada says, the living entity is the marginal energy of the personality of Godhead, and the material world is the external energy. So Srila Prabhupada opens his initial section of the purport by talking about the various energies of Lord Krishna. The energies of Lord Krishna at the very outset, it is either we can call that energy as Parashakti, or they are known as Swarupa Shakti or Achintya Shakti of the Lord. Achintya means that which cannot be understood very easily. It is inconceivable. That is the energy of the Lord. Now, these energies of the Lord are categorized as Antaranga Shakti, which is internal spiritual potency, Maya or Bahiranga Shakti, the external potency. So there are two classifications, and then there is a third category, which is Prabhupada is mentioning in the opening of the purport, is the Jiva Shakti or the Tathastha Shakti, where we have the marginal potency, where we have a choice either to serve the Lord or not to serve the Lord, or to serve for the pleasure of the Lord, or to serve our own senses and enjoy material wish. So that is why we are called as Tathastha Shakti. This choice is always there. Talking about Parashakti, the energies of the Lord, it is said that this Parashakti or Swarupa Shakti of the Lord has got an inherent characteristic of 100% being Satchidananda, eternality, knowledge and bliss. So again, this Shakti is dissected into three, the Parashakti of the Lord. The first is the Sandhini Shakti. Sandhini Shakti is the potency of power, the potency of sustenance, or the potency of manifesting things. The Shakti by which everything gets manifested is called as Sandhini Shakti. And this is where the principle of eternality also comes from, because Parashakti contains Sat, Chit and Anand. So Sat refers to the Sandhini Shakti, the concept of eternality. Now, it is this aspect of Sat that manifests and maintains the various abodes where the pastimes of the Lord are. Also, the Sandini Shakti provides various spiritual forms of Lord Krishna and his friends, his companions, his servants, cows, plus various other paraphernalia that are required for completion of Lord Krishna's pastimes. So that is Sandini Shakti. Then the second Shakti is called as the Samvit Shakti. Samvit Shakti is the power of cognizance. That is why it comes under the Chit category. Sat, Chit and Anand. The power of cognizance, and this is where Jnana or knowledge comes from. So this is the aspect of Chit. Now, in the pure sense of Samvit Shakti, the Samvit Shakti arranges for the different modes of the Lord. So if you remember, the Sandini Shakti arranges the It manifested everything. Now it's not just enough to manifest things. It is enough. It is sufficient when the pertinent mood is there to perform that pastime. So this is exactly what Samvit Shakti does. So it arranges for different mystical moods and relationships amongst the residents of Vrindavan. For example, Lord Krishna is playing the flute to the gopis, and then there is a particular mood that is created over there. The cows are being taken for grazing. There is a Rasleela, all this is arranged by the Samvit Shakti, creating the mood. So there is a place and then there is a mood. And then the third aspect of Lord's energy is the Alladini Shakti. Sandini, Samvit and Alladini Shakti. Alladini Shakti, as all of us know, is the pleasure potency of the Lord. And through this pleasure potency, the Lord performs dynamic variegated activities with his own energies. Okay. And these are all arranged by the Samvit Shakti, these pastimes. Now, the Alladini Shakti, Radharani is the epitome of the Alladini Shakti of the Lord. The whole Shakti Tattva comes from it refers to the Alladini Shakti. And to facilitate the pastimes of the Lord, Radharani expands herself as Lalita, Vishaka, Champakalata, Chitra, Devi and so on and so forth. Now, it is mentioned that though this Parashakti has got these three it is mentioned that this Parashakti has got these three aspects of Sat, Chit and Anand, the Sandini, Samvit and the Alladini Shakti. Now there are three other aspects that we need to know about the same superior energy of the Lord. First is that this energy is fully manifest in Bhagavan. Krishna is Purna Bhagavan. All these Shaktis are 100% manifest in Lord Krishna. They are fully present in Bhagavan. The second is that as they are fully present in Bhagavan, they are minutely present in the Jiva Shakti or the Jiva Tattva or the Tathashta. So, now because they are minutely present in the Tathashta, the Jiva Shakti, from there comes the qualitative oneness of eternality in us also. So Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, never was a time when you did not exist, I did not exist, nor any of these people in the battlefield. So that's the principle of eternality. Then, in the Jiva, as much as this qualitative oneness of eternality is there, there is knowledge of Aham Brahmasmi. So the Jiva Tattva also has got the Chit, by which we inherently know that we are part and parcel of Parabrahma, or Aham Brahmasmi. That knowledge is already there, inherent in the Jiva Tattva. And then, the Jiva Tattva, therefore, under self-realization, is also able to experience the Anand, the bliss that comes out of such spiritual realization. However, we need to remember that the Jiva Tattva is only qualitatively one, not quantitatively one. So, Prabhupada is also talking about that in the purport. The third aspect, again, the first aspect was that it is fully present in Bhagavan, which we talked about. The second aspect was that it is minutely present in the Jiva Tattva because of the qualitative oneness. But the third aspect is that the same Shakti of the Lord, the Antaranga Shakti, is perversely reflected in the Maya Shakti. Everything is like a banging tree. It is all perversely reflected. So therefore, the manifestation Shakti, which we talked about, the Sandini Shakti initially, that is reflected in the 14 planetary systems in this material world. And that is also reflected in the form of the physical forms of all of us, which encase the soul. We are all encased into an external form, material form. So that is the manifestation of potency. Coming to knowledge, the chit, the knowledge of matter and how to exploit matter is a perverted reflection of that pristine knowledge which is there in the Sambhit Shakti. And when it comes to bliss, the joy that comes from sense enjoyment, which comes from satisfying the mouth, belly or genitals, that also comes from the original pure form of joy which comes in serving the pleasure pastimes of Lord in the spiritual world. So everything is pretty much perverted in this material world. Now, though these Shaktis may have different manifestations in the spiritual world and the material world, Prabhupada is underscoring the point that all these Shaktis are meant to serve the Shaktiman. The Shaktis cannot be higher than the Shaktiman. They are meant to serve him. For example, the Tathashta Shakti, which is all of us, the marginal potency, Jivena Swarupaha Nityaya Krishnadas, we are meant to serve that, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Maya Shakti, which is there. The Maya Shakti also, it is said, Shrishti Sthiti Sadhana Shakti Rekha Chayeva Yasya Bhubanani Vibharti Durga Ichchan Rupam Api Yasya Tates Tatesa Govinda Mani Kosham Tamaham Vajani. Lord Durga Devi conducts herself according to the desire of Krishna. So Shakti Tattva is also meant to serve the Shakti Man, the source of all Shakti. And this principle, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, is called as Jaiva Dharma. This is the actual intrinsic nature of the spirit soul, to always serve the Lord. The innate characteristic of every living entity. In Jaiva Dharma, it is said that the Swarup is the innate characteristic of any vastu, of any object. Therefore, the original characteristic of the soul itself is that it naturally is meant to serve the Lord. Just as the Swarup of water is to flow. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned that when this water is kept in an artificial condition, it does not flow. It looks as if, you know, it is solid, but actually water is not solid. Water is liquid. So Prabhupada is underscoring this point in this section, that we have to understand this original Jaiva Dharma, and the yogic process which we adopt has to be in alignment with that understanding. Now, we discussed that the soul is part and parcel of Krishna. There is a qualitative oneness with the Lord. Despite this qualitative oneness, there is one problem, that the spirit soul has this characteristic of free will, and that is where all problems start. When this free will comes, then the soul gets a choice whether to serve the Lord, the devotees of the Lord, or whether to serve one's own false ego. Now, from this free will comes desires. Now, the free will can also desire to serve the Lord, but there are three types of desires that at the highest level comes out of this free will. The desire for sense enjoyment, for exploiting the material nature, which is called as bhukti. The desire to get outside this, out of this material world, to escape the cycle of birth, which is old age and death, which is called as mukti. And the desire, the pure desire only to serve the Lord, regardless of whether we are in this material world or whether we are in the spiritual world. Marovi, rakovi, jo ichcha kumar. So wherever, in whatever situation of life, Swarga apavarga narakeshu apitulyata darshan. In any situation that I want to only serve you. If for that reason I have to take 100 births here in this rotten material world, doesn't matter, I will come. Or if you desire that I should serve you, then I will come. But it's your desire. Jo ichcha kumar. Your desire. So that's bhakti. So there is bhukti, there is mukti, and then there is bhakti. So these are the three types of desires. And the jiva is having a free will to choose any of this. Now that is where the problem comes. So this, first we will talk about bhakti, the desire to enjoy the material world. Then we will go to mukti and bhakti, and then we will culminate in the discussion on the yogas, the different type of yogas there are based on these desires. So bhakti is captured in Bhagavad Gita as Ishwara Aham Bhogi Siddho Balavan Sukhi. So it means the concept of Aham Mameti, which Rishabhadev says, Aham Mamete means that I am the center of all enjoyment and everything belongs to me. Everything is meant for my enjoyment. Everyone should act in accordance with my desires. So, this is called as the I concept. Me and myself. I am the enjoyer and everything is created for my pleasure. So, Prabhupada, in this purport, Prabhupada is inferring. Prabhupada writes here. Says, Prabhupada uses the word Purusha. Prabhupada says the entire cosmic manifestation but a combination of matter and spirit. The spirit, spiritual part is a living entity and these living entities are described as Prakriti or energy. The living entity is never described as Purusha, Prabhupada says. So we are not the Purusha, we are not the enjoyer. We are the enjoyed. Yes, it doesn't, sometimes when we tell people we are the enjoyed, people think, okay, that means we are finished in life. Because there is somebody who will always be enjoying and I will just sit there and kind of with a bowl in my hand, Karpur Tambul, somebody is enjoying and I will just keep watching. Is this what is the perfection of life? So we have been given to understand by the Acharya that serving the Lord, and all of us have a limited realization. Some devotees may have higher realization, some people may have lower realization. But we all have a realization that when we genuinely serve the Lord, we are happy. We have never felt that, oh, he enjoyed, I never enjoyed. So that is the pratyaksha avagam dharyam dharma, the practical experience, the direct perception of devotional service that all of us get in different amounts based on our level of surrender. So, but this purusha bhava means that I am the enjoyer. Nobody else is the enjoyer. Everything is for my enjoyment. But Prabhupada hammers here that we are not purusha. We are to be enjoyed. If we develop purusha bhava, then we are trapped in this material world. To the extent we have the purusha bhava, we are trapped. And Prabhupada says, but even if you are trapped in this material world, because of your purusha bhava, at least make an attempt to re-establish your original spiritual identity. So it is not that this is andhera material. There is no andhera material, it's an impasse. There is no way out of this particular prison. No, there is a way out of this prison. But one has to come in contact with a devotee and understand how to escape the prison of material existence. So, and that is why devotees like Narad Muni, they reach out to people on their own. Narad Muni wanders like a Paribrata Kachari and reaches out to the whole world. So, and Narad Muni, Mahajanas like Narad Muni, they communicate that their only goal is to educate people on how to re-establish this, how to be connected back with the Supreme Power. And that process is called as Yoga. That's why Prabhupada is talking about various yogic systems here. Yoga means to connect. Now, again, continuing on the topic of bhakti, there are two types of people who want to enjoy matter. One are those people who are completely asuri. They want to enjoy matter without recognizing the Supreme Lord. But there are other category of people who want material enjoyment. They recognize some higher power, but their goal is still enjoying the material. Both types of people are there under the bhukti category. Where is most of mankind today? Most of mankind is in the former category. In the category of impiety. Impiety. They do not like any rules and regulations. They want to enjoy their senses freely without any restrictions. Most people do not believe in any higher power. It's like that Jaimini philosophy, Prabhupada mentions in 11th canto. Jaimini, he said that at the end of the day, everything is karma. Karma is higher than Bhagavan. Just do your, it's called Karma Mamamsa philosophy. Karma Mamamsa philosophy puts karma ahead of Bhagavan and Mayavad philosophy puts Maya ahead of Bhagavan. As if Bhagavan is subjugated by Maya. So Karma Mimamsa philosophy means there is no, don't worry about Bhagavan, don't worry about bhakti and all that. Do good, you will get good. So if you continue doing good, you can be very happy in this material world lifetime after lifetime. So that is what is ultimate. This is Karma Mimamsa philosophy. This is atheistic philosophy. Prabhupada talks about. So some people do not believe in the conception of a higher power, or they relegate the higher power to Maya, as if the power is subjugated by Maya. So most of mankind is impious. They do not accept a higher power. They become either atheistic or they become fatalistic. Atheistic means that at the end of the day there is no Lord. Whatever I do, I am a self-made man. If you work, you will enjoy. If not, you will not enjoy. Simple. Or they become fatalistic. They say that nothing will come anyway. Or I am doomed. The world is doomed. There is no hope for anyone. So that is fatalistic. So therefore their activities also and their attitude and their approach are symptoms of what they think inside. And therefore their activities, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Daiva Dharma, their activities come under adharma, anitya dharma, adharma. So this is the first category of people who are in bhakti. The second category, which is some people, they accept a higher authority. And because they accept a higher authority, they have some sense of accountability that there is a higher power. Nevertheless, though they accept the higher power, their goal is still sense enjoyment. There is a power, so let me see how I can use knowledge given by these higher powers or how I can please these powers for my sense enjoyment. So this is called as vanik mentality. Vanik mentality means I glorify you, but in return you do something for me. So if these people, their practices are aimed at appeasing these higher powers. But the Vedas provide for such people. The Vedas say, I'll provide it. There is a karma kanda section for you people. So wherein you can refer to the karma kanda section of the Vedas. You can appease the higher powers and be happy. So such people are defined as karmis. Karmis. Now, sometimes, it is easy to think of people who are enjoying the material world who have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. We sometimes use the word karmi. Oh, that person is a karmi. But actually, in this world, there are very less karmis. Karmi is a rare thing. Most people do not recognize the higher authority at all. So, karmis are as durlabh as devotees are today. So, technically, that category also does not exist. Karmis are actually people who want to enjoy their senses, but they have some deference to scriptural injunctions, which most people do not have today. Now, because karmis enjoy indifference to the scriptural injunctions, externally their practices could look like bhakti, but actually it is not so. It is actually based on selfish desires for enjoyment. So, before I came to Krishna consciousness, I never knew who was, I had only very external, outlook towards someone who is very pious and devotional. So, we had these people who would come with that, that uncle who would come with that ash on the forehead and kumkum, and then he'll be blessing everyone, and then he'll do some ting-ting-ting, he'll do some puja in the house, and we'll take out, he's the most advanced in the family right now. Right, so our level of advancement was based on purely an external perception. And someone who will even probably, I don't know, I think my mother told me that there were devotees in my family. One Narsimha, we had a Narsimha Upasaka. So this person was so attached to Narsimha there that he had actually powers. My mother used to tell me this, your poor father. He had power that, on Narsimha Chaturdashi, he has brought back people. He can easily cure snake bite and all that with his mantra shakti. But he never used it for becoming popular. He was always in the room, always worshipping Narsimha there 100% of the time. He was a Narsimha Upasaka, very strict devotee. In terms of celibacy and all, he was pakka, like that. So there are these people. But then, unfortunately, I never got direct exposure to these forefathers. But people who have seen are mostly people who will arrange the books in Durga Puja, the Saraswati Puja, and then the Bhagavad Gita will be worshipped with aarti. Along with that, we will have also trigonometry and physics and biology, all those books. So sometimes I have to ask questions. I said, by doing aarti, how can we pass in the exam? Goddess Saraswati will become very upset with you. Don't speak like that. And they used to say, in your mouth, I have to put a darbai. Darbai means pucha glass. Put pucha glass in his mouth. They will tell. This fellow is talking all apshakun here. And then I used to think that they are very holy and I am the only rascal. I am still a rascal, no doubt. But they are definitely not me. That is my realization. So these people, whatever externally they may pass off with vipudi and kumkum and dhoti and all that, Vishi, they used to call us. So, but still, there is absolutely no understanding. And why I, the only reason I came to realize that even before my Krishna consciousness is that in a difficult situation, when you see their response to that situation, that time you will come to know what is the level of advance. Because that time the monster will come out. When everything is nice, there was Sukhina Bhavantu, everybody is very nice. But when the situation comes where there is problem, there is fight or something like that, then our advancement, the level of advancement at that time is known. Of course, it is quite possible that even sometimes devotees who are very advanced also can, it can happen to them. But it is clear that that's a circumstantial behavior. It is only that moment that has happened. And a devotee always feels very bad about the moment. It's not a devotee, practicing devotees also make mistakes. But practicing devotees are not shameless after having made a mistake. At least there is some charm inside the heart, oh, I shouldn't have done like that. And then we try to rectify that. But for these people, they are self-righteous because there is no higher authority that they are used to accepting. So these people, because of their selfish desire, whatever they do externally, they may seem very pious, but there is no connection happening with the Lord because the center of all their activities is me. Lord is bhava krahi janardana. Connection will happen only if we approach with affection. Even little bit affection is good enough, but some affection has to be there. Even before affection, acknowledgement has to be there. And then affection has to be there. Acknowledgement of the supremacy of the Lord. Now, some people, again this bhakti vadis, some people may choose to migrate from that lower platform from motivated action, that is all motivated action, whatever is happening right now, to regulated responsibility. Motivated action to regulated responsibility. So therefore, there is a, well, when you say motivated action to regulated responsibility, it is not necessarily me myself, but it still means it's not about me, I do it for the general welfare of society. It is an extended me, Prabhupada says. Extended me concept. So for societal well-being, so they say that okay, let us do something, sarva sukhina bhavantu. After all, you know, I am born in a Brahminical family. My job is to do yajnas, just generally for social well-being, then annadhavadi bhutani parjanyana anna sambhava. We have to do some yajna so demigods are satisfied, so there will be peace and prosperity. Om Shanti. So there are people who will do it not necessarily for themselves, but they have quite a sense of duty and accountability to society. And that's where there is a fine line between Nitya Dharma, what is Daiva Dharma, the true, real, highest religion, Sanatana Dharma, and that's a real combination of Sanatana Dharma with a little bit of that sense enjoyment. There is an interface, and that's exactly where Varnashrama Dharma comes, where it addresses saying that, okay, you can consider yourself as a Brahman, Vaishya, Kshatriya, and Shudra. There are roles and responsibilities of each Varna and each Ashrama. And then, as long as you do those, execute those roles and responsibilities very nicely, gradually you will attain peace. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that is just not enough. Just plain Varnashrama Dharma, what it can give you, at the best, if you practice it for 1000 life, 100 lifetimes or whatever, then you can get a lifetime of Brahma. But a Brahma bhuvana loka punaravartana arjuna, again you have to come down. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Daiva Dharma that is also not Nitya Dharma. Even Varnashrama Dharma comes in the second category of Naimittika Dharma, which looks like, in one sense, like Nitya Dharma, but actually it is not Nitya Dharma. It is a suboptimal Dharma. It is not the highest. So, and regardless of whatever you do, as long as you do any activity, even if you do out of kartavya buddhi, there are four ways in which people approach Lord. People approach Lord out of fear. Why? Bhagavan said that. Be scared of God. He will punish you if you are a bad boy. So if you can approach God like that. Or you can, one can approach God out of asha. Asha means, I have complete hope that you will give me my bread and butter. So someone can approach out of hope. Someone can approach out of duty. It is our duty to accept Lord is providing so many things. It is my duty to go to the temple. It's like the wife telling the husband, it is my duty, therefore I am giving you breakfast in the morning. No husband will eat breakfast, the wife tells that. Obviously, because what is the expectation? The expectation is out of affection when cooking is done, not out of duty. It is my duty to invite you, Prabhu, to my house. Therefore, I have made this complaint.
You will never come again. No, don't do me. You don't have to do that.
I understand. Right? But love is immediately seen. Love and affection, we don't have to tell. Right? So, all these still have a component of duty. That's why they don't come under Nityadharma or Sanatana Dharma. Whereas, the foundation of Sanatana Dharma starts with love of Krishna. It may be minute, but some love and affection will be there. That is when the yoga really starts. Till that time, yoga is not really started. Now, we talked about the bhakti values. Now, beyond that, beyond these bhaktis, there is this karmis, there is jnanis. Now, these jnanis, they are different because they want to go beyond the material to something which is spiritual. However, it is said that these jnanis, their focus is more on the oneness of the Atma and the Paramatma. They focus more on the oneness of the soul and the super soul. That is why jnanis and jnana yogis are different. Jnanis means, they will attend, eventually what they will come to a conclusion, Paramatma, me, both are same. You are God, I am God, all of us are God. No, that's the conclusion they will say. And we have seen these Mayavadi lectures, right, how they are. Everybody is God. Even on television, sometimes these people come, no? big, you know, with beard and all that. And they are given big positions in society. If they are asked, are you God, they will never say no. They will just say this. Mm-hmm. And then everybody will think that actually he meant that he is God, but he is so humble. So then they will say, Swami ji, like that. Mm-hmm. But Prabhupada said, rascals. In fact, Prabhupada's own disciples, Prabhupada told them, you people go out now. How dare you call me God? It's not that because they give puja and pratishtha to Prabhupada, Prabhupada started then teaching the philosophy and saying, nice man, everybody is calling me, nice position. No. So there is integrity in a devotee, which is not there in these jnanis. Because they only focus on the oneness and then eventually they get corrupted because they are only focusing on the qualitative oneness. And eventually they think they are quantitatively also one because they merge. And they will become quantitatively one with the other. So that is not true. So therefore, Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbhas calls this as Shushka Jnana. Shushka Jnana means bad karma, bad knowledge, bad knowledge. Sometimes this knowledge of oneness can be bad. It's better when you are a karmi. At least it's easy to then tell you something. Or tell us something. So, it is not very conducive for further development. And this then could lead to Maya, where one thinks all are God owing to qualitative oneness. And therefore, we are all God. And then what they say? Look, this is what it is. Even when that Parabrahma, Krishna or Ram comes to this material world, they also have to go through Maya. Look at Lord Ramachandra. What misery he underwent. Sita Devi apaharan. Lord Krishna, Sita, she was crying. This is what is the power of Maya. Therefore, we are telling you, be cautious. But this is nonsense lecture. Right? Lord Ramachandra is not subjugated by the material energy. They do not understand that the Lord comes. Lord is sentient. He is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. He comes to in a Nara-like Leela, to perform a Leela. In doing that Leela, he is giving us some messages. Right? So they do not understand the transcendental nature. Janma karma chami divyam. That's why Lord Krishna had to tell that verse in Bhagavad Gita. Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam yeti sarvatma. Till we understand the transcendental nature of my activities and pastimes, you will not escape the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. And the Mayavadis don't know that. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Mayavadi bhashya kinile maya sarvanash. Do not hear from these Mayavadis, though externally they will have everything, tilak, beard, dhoti, kurta, everything will be there. They will also think Jai Radha Madha. But their mood is that he is non-different, I am going to be one with the Lord, or I am Bhagavan. So, all this are, this is the forte of the jnanis. And then there is yogis. These yogis, what do they want? They start with Ashtanga Yoga. But what is their goal? The yogis, not bhakti yogis, not Ashtanga yogis who desire Paramatma. We are talking about those people who practice yogas for attaining mystic powers. Nowadays, people don't practice yogas for mystic powers. Also. People are happy with yoga is reducing cholesterol, blood pressure. That is important, no doubt about it. But that's not the absolute understanding. Okay, devotees also do that. Prabhava Prabhu. Take so much of efforts to maintain the health of all the brahmacharis. So I'm not allowed, as I also want to come. So that is important. But why doesn't devotee take care of it? So that all devotees want to serve Krishna. Without serving, this jivan is useless. What is that? Dharma swarushita punsam vishvaksena kathasuya na upadhyaya yadirati shramaya eva kevalam. Everything is useless activity. So therefore, a devotee maintains self also for the purpose of the Lord. Like His Holiness Radha Swami and His friend Gary once were exchanging thoughts. Where Gary told Radha Swami, look at how different we are. I have a gym in Malibu where I am telling people, take care of your bodies. And you are telling people you are not their body, not your bodies. Look at how strange our friendship is, he said. So Radhanath Maharaj said, no, there is nothing, there is no different. I am telling people that you are the spirit soul and Krishna has given you these bodies and you are teaching people how to take care of their bodies. I am telling people to take care of their bodies, you teach people how to take care of their bodies. So as long as we consider this body as a vehicle for service of the Lord, then taking care of the body does not come under the jurisdiction of Maya. But most of the world, they take care of their bodies not for service of the Lord. Oh, I want to develop 6 abs, 10 abs, whatever. Like your teenage children, you still do. No, I don't know if you have, but as a grihastha, I can tell you, they stand in front of the mirror and they look like this. I look fine. I've seen many times. Boys will look. The style will be different of walking at the moment. So the purpose of exercise, doing everything is what? That hormonal effect that is coming, to impress with the physique, like that. So, and the ladies also on the other side, they will look at me and say, oh, I want to have a thin waist. Why? Because they want to attract the males, like that. So therefore, all this is, so the yoga has just been restricted to that. In the morning, so they will have 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then there will be music that will be going on and all these people will be jumping up and down, which is good, but the purpose is not, purpose is very, very material. Now, and sometimes the outcome of that yoga itself is a problem because of that. Because what will happen when you only have a thin waist and when you have such a body, then the opposite sex also gets attracted to you, not for your qualities, just for your body. And then what happens? Then they unite and then such marriages fail. Because it is based upon your bodily conception of life. Right? They say, oh, we can't get along with each other. So we are separated. This is what is happening in the whole world. So yoga, even the yoga concept is also being used for very suboptimal purposes. Still others, they say that, okay, we don't want to use yoga for this, but we want to develop ashtasiddhis, mystical potencies. Because when we have these mystic potencies, anyway we will get disciples in this world. Right? And then we can exploit them. And in India you see all these people, so-called babas, many of these babas are in jail now because of sexual abuse of their disciples. What happens? They get some kind of siddhis and they show off some tricks and then people think they are God. The ladies also are encouraged to go and surrender. In fact, some parents give their daughters and sons to these people and they get abused there. So this nonsense is going on. So even that is far away. Externally it may look, all these things externally may look very spiritual, but the goal inside is completely different. Because Ashtanga Yoga has the power to give these potencies. In fact, Lord Krishna, an entire chapter in 11th canto in Uddhava Gita is dedicated to this. Lord Krishna is explaining to Uddhava all about the mystic potencies. Anima Siddhi, Lagima Siddhi, Dilta, so many Siddhis he is talking about. And Krishna tells Uddhava directly, but all these are useless if it is not used for serving the Supreme Personality of God. Give this instruction to him because he knows that Uddhava has got this assignment. He has to go to Badrikashram and preach. So when Lord leaves this, winds up his pastimes, he takes the entire Uddhava dynasty. But he leaves Uddhava, his intimate friend, because he trusts Uddhava so much. So he tells Uddhava, you please be in this world and take care of these people. All kinds of people will come. Yogis will come. Just like Sukadeva Goswami, when he was speaking Bhagavatam, all kinds of personalities were in the assembly. So like that, all kinds of personalities will be. So he's giving all this knowledge also to Uddhava. So this is the yogis. Now, none of this category that we described up until now have anything to do with connecting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because without connecting to the Lord, karma, jnana, yoga, everything is useless. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Sanatana Goswami escaped from the prison where he bribed those officials and he escaped the prison, and then he went and he somehow with his attendant he came and stood in front of Lord Chaitanya, and like Lord Chaitanya, you know, then very mercifully instructed Sanatana Goswami. In that Sanatana Shiksha, there are three interesting verses that I chanced upon yesterday. So I will read that, where Mahaprabhu is underscoring the importance of connecting with the Lord. This is from Madhya Leela 20.143. Mahaprabhu says, Veda Shastre kahe sambandha abhijeya prayojana Krishna Krishna bhakti prema teena mahadhana. Mahaprabhu is saying to Sanatana Goswami, in the Vedic literatures, Krishna is the central point of attraction. This is what everyone is missing. Jnana kaan, karma kaan, jnana kaan, upasana kaan, and you are missing Krishna. Even after studying the entire verse, Mahaprabhu is saying, in the Vedic literatures, Krishna is the central point of attraction and his service is our activity. To attain the platform of love of Krishna is life's ultimate goal. Therefore, Krishna, Krishna service and love of Krishna are the three greatest riches of life. Krishna, Krishna bhakti prema teena mahadhanam. Greatest wealth of life. Then further, Mahaprabhu says, Vedari sakala shastre Krishna mukhya sambandha tanranyane anusange yaya maya bandha. Which means, in all revealed scriptures, beginning with the Vedas, the central point of attraction is Krishna. Again, he is underscoring the point. When complete knowledge of him is realized, the bondage of Maya, the illusory energy, is automatically broken. Further, Mahaprabhu says, Mukhya Gauna Vritti Kimva Anvaya Vajireka Vedera Pratignya Kevala Kade Krishna Ke. Which means, when one accepts the Vedic literature by interpretation, or even by dictionary meaning, directly or indirectly, the ultimate declaration of Vedic knowledge points to Lord Krishna. Anvaya Vatireka, directly, indirectly, whichever way. Even the Chatushloki of Srimad Bhagavatam, this comes. What is it? Pratyaya Ratanya Pratyaya. What is it? Vashaka. A. Forgot the fourth one. Anvaya Vatireka Vatireka Abhyam Yatchat Sarvatra Sarvatra. So the fourth verse, Chatushloki. Eta Eva Jigyasam Jigyasana Atma Tattva Jigyasana Atmanah Anvaya Vatireka Abhyam Yatchat Sarvatra Sarvatra. So there also it is said, somehow or the other, directly or indirectly, search for Krishna. Otherwise everything is useless. All other search is useless in this one. This is the Chatushloki of Srimad Bhagavatam, the fourth more important verses. So all these things, because Krishna is not there in the center, they are all useless. So Prabhupada is therefore underscoring that one must start the yoga process. And then Prabhupada talks about yoga process can be karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga or bhakti yoga. But the highest is bhakti yoga. Now why does Prabhupada say that? Please invest few more minutes and end the class. So yoga comes from the word yuj. Yuj means to connect. We all know that. So Srila Prabhupada, when he was lecturing in Montreal on Bhagavad Gita 4.1, this was in 1968, Prabhupada said, yoga means bhakti. Yoga means bhakti. Prabhupada is not different. But Prabhupada said, the rascals do not know that. Therefore, for example, ultimately it is PhD which will give knowledge. Now, if I have to give a mundane example, but the rascals cannot come directly to the knowledge of PhD. Therefore, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what. And then when they become PhD in astronomy, then they will think star is not twinkle, twinkle, and little. It is much more bigger than the Earth. But you can't tell that to a small baby, you know. Stars and black holes and galaxies. Child will think, yeah, what is it all talking about? Not understand. Therefore, little, for such people, we are given ladder, yoga ladder. Prabhupada says, just like the skyscraper, Prabhupada says. So there are many. The Prabhupada says on the highest there, on the skyscraper is Krishna. But all of us, all of them, these people do not know to use the elevator. Some people still want to use staircase. Some people want to choose escalator. Some people want to use elevator and reach the same Krishna. The problem with using staircase and escalator, that is dangerous. Nowadays even staircase is easier, but escalator is the most dangerous thing. Most dangerous. You go to a shopping mall to buy a beanie, and then the escalator will take you. And then you will see sale of television sets. Then you will go there and say, oh, this sale, let us just do 2 minutes. No buying. I mean, just see what is there. And then they'll say, you know, that fellow with tie and suit will come. Say, sir, for you we have given made this television. Beautiful, state of the high display, high definition television. And then you'll go there. Then after that, you'll say, okay, I'll buy this. So, and then again you'll take escalator. Then there will be a jewelry shop there on top. And they'll say, jewelry on sale. So what will happen? Originally you went to buy a beanie. But after some time you will find out that the shopping mall is closing now. And you forgot to buy your beanie. And you have television, jewelry, everything else. Right? So originally, the search for Krishna is there. Jnana is actually, one is searching for something spiritual. But what happens? Ashtanga yogis are also searching, going for paramartha realization. But what happens? They get all this. These mystic siddhis invite them. Think that, why you are going there? You can become God. Why you have to go to the top floor? Be on the 14th floor itself, if there are 100 floors. On the 14th floor, people will say you are God. Forget it. You are God. Finish. And therefore, the person never went to the 15th, 16th floor at all. This is what is happening. So therefore, Prabhupada says that in other yogic systems, the process is very gradual. And it is fraught with lot of danger. At any point in time, but Maya will, Maya jeopardy is there. Because free will is there. That is the problem. Even the Ashtanga Yogi at the last stage also has got free will. What to speak of Ashtanga Yogi? Even Bhakti Yogi has free will. Bharat Maharaj was in the Bhava platform. From that platform, he went actually to meditate from the Lord. But because he was not in association of devotees, he also felt trapped to the attraction of a deer. And then one more lifetime after that. And then Jadavara, like that. So therefore, even from a Bhava platform, one can fall down. Maya is so powerful, never to understand. The Prabhupada said, if I have one complaint of my devotees, they don't fear Maya enough. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna also takes us through a journey. Lord Krishna talks about the Karma Yogi. Karma Yogi means what? Karma Yogi, it means connecting to the Lord through the medium of activity. Now, the activity will definitely give fruits. When you do any activity, it will give some fruits of some kind. So in that, there are various levels. One level is that I will do activities, but I will renounce or be detached from the fruits of that activity. That is one detachment. I don't care what comes, what doesn't come. I just do activities. Second is, I will do activities and whatever fruit comes, I will offer it to Krishna. But that is, yoga starts here. Because now you want to offer something. But then, the highest is Karma Yoga action in Krishna consciousness. Is, while doing the activity itself, you do activities which are prescribed by Krishna, which are favorable. Otherwise, I read, when I was reading Prabhupada Charitra, once someone came and gave Prabhupada donation. Prabhupada said, where you got so much money? Selling drugs, drug dealing. Prabhupada, I don't want this money. So it's not that you can do any nonsense activity and say that, I have killed 4 or 5 people. And then I rooted them. Now, everything is in Krishna Arpana. No, that is not acceptable. So, action in Krishna consciousness. So, it is good, at least something is there. Person is at least giving it to Krishna. But no, Rupa said no. This is not acceptable. So, whenever you are, even if you are doing activities for your own, according to your own nature, and not as prescribed by the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, okay, you do it as long as it is ethical. And then you give the fruits. But still, best is to work for Krishna. So there are various levels in that. Karma Yoga level itself. So that is there. And then Jnana Yoga. When to activity, when knowledge and posterity component is added, that then becomes Jnana Yoga. So again, the Jnana Yoga starts with the Naiti principle. We know that denying matter and trying to separate spirit from matter. So we know that. But sometimes what happens, when we are too much engaged only in jnana and jnana and jnana and not bhakti, then we become grammarians or scholars. One doesn't come to the platform of being a devotee. Therefore, when Adi Shankara himself, Lord Shiva himself came as Adi Shankara, he composed the Bhaja Govinda. Sir, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda Moodamade, Samprapte Sannihite Kali Nani Nani Rakshati Gopuram Kalani. So, Adi Shankara himself, who is the head of all the Shaivites, he himself said that all your rascals, if you just, you know, do tarka with her, you know, if you are only studying the rules of grammar all the time, with the, if you are only with your books, Vedic books, and not developing any attraction for the Lord, nahi nahi rakshati dukkhan karna, this is not going to save you, this knowledge is not going to save you at the time of death. And then he himself says, Bhagavad Gita kinchat gita ganga jalana vakanika gita chakradapi yena murari samartha kriyate tasya manena charcha bhaja govinda mudamte, which means at least take Bhagavad Gita in your hands, original Bhagavad Gita as it is, not any other maya or Bhagavad Gita, because maya or Bhagavad Gita, once I read maya or Bhagavad Gita, just to see what is there. There is no Krishna only in the whole book. Everything is saying the self, one should surrender to the self. Now what do you mean by that? Anyway, I am surrendered to myself. That is why the whole problem is there. Okay, so God, there is nothing called a surrender to oneself. So not that Bhagavad Gita. So he says, if you take Bhakti, the Bhagavad Gita, which not Bhakti Shastras, Kinchita Gita, little bit also if you study, then at the time of death, Murari, Sakradipiyana Murari, so you will meet Lord Krishna, the killer of the Mura temple. And no meeting with Yamaraj. So, but so in Bhaja Govinda, even Adi Shankara also gave the same knowledge to these people. Now, the Jnana Yogis, the only difference is the Jnana Yogis are attracted to the impersonal feature. Prabhupada says, even the impersonalists are also transcendentalists. So they have transcendental, no doubt about it, but they are only attracted to the impersonal feature of the Lord. The Ashtanga Yogis, on the other hand, the genuine Ashtanga Yogi who wants to connect to the Lord, they get darshan of the Lord because they are now not seeing the Brahman layer. They are meditating within and realizing the Paramatma feature of the Lord. But that is again restricted to darshan of the Lord. There is no relationship with the Lord. That is why the Lord says to Narada Muni, you will not see me in this lifetime after this. Even after Dhruva Maharaj, the Lord disappeared. One has to develop a rasa with the Lord. And that is why Ashtanga Yoga also falls short in that sense. It is still very high up, but not quite there. Because the darshan of the Lord is that there is no relationship, sambandha with the Lord in one of the rasas. And that is where Bhakti Yoga comes. So when Bhakti Yoga comes, the most important ingredient of love or ras is added to the yogic process. And therefore, that prompts Sukadeva Goswami to say, Dharma Sanashtita Pumsam Vishvaksena Kathasuyaha Na Utpadeya Yadi Ratim Shramayevaya. That rati is not there, that love and affection is not coming for Krishna through our activities, or love and affection is not coming for Krishna when we deal with devotees also, then what happens? It is Shrama Yevaya. So not project orientation, people orientation. When we do any activity, we invest in people. Even in corporate now, they are saying the same principle. If you invest in people instead of projects, people will do excellent projects. But if you are project oriented and ignore people, people will not feel inspired to work under your leadership. It's like that. So therefore, here, Srila Prabhupada is underscoring the point that, you know, all these yoga systems is fine, but ultimately it is love. Because the innate nature of a human being is to receive love and to give love. So, if in Bhakti Yoga both happens, devotees receive love and in receiving love they are able to give. We can only give to the extent we have it. So, if we receive a lot of love, we automatically start giving that love to others. And when we start giving love to others, then Lord Krishna is very pleased. He says, anyone who is giving affection and love to my devotee is very dear, who serves, you know, affectionately. So, therefore, Prabhupada is underscoring the importance of Bhakti Yoga here in his purports, as much as Narada Muni is. In the original verse, Narada Muni is actually explaining the Bhakti Sutras now to the Prachetas. So many interesting points are going to come in Narada Muni's conversation with the Prachetas here. So I'll stop for now. Thank you for your patience. Sorry for any mistakes or offenses. A lot of senior devotees here. Any questions, comments or corrections? Happy to take more.
I have one question. In the beginning of the lecture, you mentioned about different shaktis, spiritual shaktis. Now, when we say that the Krishna's body is made of Sandhya Shakti, it apparently looks like the shaktis are even the basis of the Supreme Lord.
Okay. His body, yeah.
Yes, so how can we...
You know that. So, if I have said that, then you know, that's not the purpose of why I said that. If I
no, that's how it is presented. It's not just you. That's how the Shastra presents.
Yeah. So, when you have to present the characteristic of Krishna's body, then you say that his body is made of Satchidananda. So it almost looks like Satchidananda is a thing and Krishna is separate. Mm-hmm. But it is that is why I like the way Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashaya has given in Devadatta. He says it's the innate characteristic. It is not that it is there. Krishna is Satchidananda. It's not that Satchidananda has come upon Krishna. It is not like that, which is what your point is. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the dharma is the innate characteristic of a vastu. The swarupa of a vastu is the dharma. And therefore, our innate characteristic is to be, even for us, we are Satchidananda. Not qualitatively. But Krishna is quantitatively Satchidananda, because Satchidananda, the origin of Satchidananda is also Krishna. That is why, later on that sentence, you remember I said that Shakti cannot be even more important than Shaktiman. Shakti comes from Shaktiman. Shaktiman doesn't come from Shakti. The origin of Shakti Tattva is Krishna, Vishnu Tattva. Vishnu Tattva expands as Shakti. Radharani doesn't expand as Krishna. Krishna expands as Radharani. Yes, sir.
You talked about the escalator. Just want to make a comment on that. Sometimes I find the devotees, they always ask, I'm chanting, and how come still we can fall down? Just want to say that. We reach the top of the building. We reach the top of the building and that's our goal to go back to Krishna. But we just the idea that so sometimes you always say I'm chanting for so many years and how can we still become before him and stuff. But I think the answer would be like Krishna says, stay focused. So we get distracted, sidetracked, and then we get off the floor and then that's why we want to buy me and then buy other things instead. So we lose focus of what we our goal is. So even though we may be performing devotional service, even right at the altar, because we didn't end this, we're not one, and we can forget what is our constitutional position to serve Krishna. So Krishna makes a very clear point in the Bhagavad Gita, in Ekha Purananda, the branch of the tree, all scattered, once we stay in focus. So it's not that we didn't have lust, Bhagavad Gita say, but we don't have time. So,
thank you, Bhagavad. Stop here. Prakashi Mahabhagavati.